Woodley, welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm good. And another, to tie those two trends together for you, not a single Finnish goaltender. So for a country that developed so many goaltenders over the past, you know, we heard a lot about them over the past, especially 5-6 years, and that was the great equalizer for Finnish hockey. Interesting that their development model, they've kind of switched some of the focus. It's still goaltending. It's still a big part of what they do, but they've kind of applied some new sort of models and ideologies to forwards, and look what's happening, and yet not a single goaltender picked among the Finns, which is kind of goes against the trends of recent years.
Well, the biggest surprise, I think, amongst goaltenders was that Zach Sochenko wasn't drafted, although Nashville literally moments after the draft ended called him and invited him to their camp that starts right away. And I know Brody Wilms, another Western League goalie, is going to the Los Angeles Kings. But was Sochenko the biggest surprise as far as you go at the goaltending position not being drafted?
Yeah, he was to me. And I'll be honest with you, I defer to our prospect writer for In Goal Magazine, Greg Ballack, who does some work out here with the Junior A Club, on a lot of this stuff, just because I don't get to see these guys. I don't have the time to break down film on them and the way I do some of the pros at the NHL and even AHL level. So, but I did reach out to a number of goalie development guys, NHL goalie development coaches, and even NHL coaches that I know have scouting roles with their teams, and size was the issue. Not just that he is small, because I think he's listed at 6'1", and Carter Hart was the first goalie taken, and he's only 6'2". But they felt he played small, which to me is interesting. It's I believe it is something that ties to the tracking and the head trajectory work that he does. But again, Carter Hart does the same thing. So it's such a fine line for these guys in terms of, you know, 1-inch difference, using similar coaching philosophies. One of them's the first goalie taken. The other one, who had like, what, a 916 save percentage versus a 918 for Hart, arguably behind a worse defensive team, doesn't get taken at all. So I think some of that is, you know, just crapshoot nature, but some of that is, you know, sort of a lack of depth of understanding for some organizations about what really goes into stopping a puck. I'm not saying all organizations. Some of them just don't like that, the way that sort of system works, the way that, I wouldn't even call it a style, but that sort of focus, that tracking focus. But, you know, you get a lot of questions about drafting and, you know, why is it a crapshoot and goalies are voodoo and all that crap. I'll be honest with you. You want to know what's wrong with selecting goalies and developing goalies? That's the other part of the equation. Not all teams, some of them select good goalies and then do absolutely nothing to help them. Have an off-the-record conversation with a goalie coach in the NHL about some of the stuff he hears from his scouting staff, and you don't know at times whether to laugh or cry. I mean, guy has a great game. He plays big, looks confident, makes the team feel good about playing in front of him. Has a bad game, he's shrunk in his net, plays small, doesn't look confident. These are literally the kind of things that get written on scouting reports about goaltending. No analysis or evaluation of style, of tactical habits, and how those play into those trends. There's just such a dearth of understanding among, and again, not all, but many of the general scouts that have first looks at goaltenders. I talked to other organizations where, you know, because of that, they do send their goalie guy out to look at certain guys, but they all end up looking at the same guys because nobody knows how to look for anything other than what everyone else is looking at. So they all end up looking at similar players because of, based on either height or success. So, you know, there are a lot of flaws in the system. I have one team that selected a goaltender, ended up selecting a goaltender in this draft that their goalie coach was completely unaware of existed, was not on their list to even look at before we had a conversation earlier this summer. So that shows you all you need to know about goaltending, drafting, and the success rates. There's just not enough resources put into it by many teams.
Kevin Woodley, join us. What is a factor now, regardless of how they train them? It seems, and I had a lengthy conversation with Marty Brodeur, Kevin, in our hotel lobby the one day, because I went up to him and I asked him, I knew Marty a little bit when he played, just about, you know, and he's concerned that, you know, goalie seems to be coming a very height biased position now, that if you're 6 foot one, even like that's considered short now as a, you know, at any level. And I looked at the heights of a lot of the goalies being drafted, man, if you're not 6'1", you're not getting called.
Yeah, that's the way it's going. I mean, it's funny. I'm working with a goaltender here this week, doing some video support with goalie coach Alex Auld for a kid named Luca Grashner. And yeah, if you're not a goalie guy, you probably don't remember him. He plays for Red Bull Salzburg. He was on the Slovenian team at the Olympics in 2014. But in his draft year, he was the third-ranked European goaltender. He had a heck of a season playing pro for Salzburg, for Red Bull Salzburg in the Austrian League. Had a great World Championships. I think he even took Canada to overtime for Slovenia in the World Championships. Has been a part of the Slovenian teams that earned that Olympic berth. And he's under 6 foot, never got a sniff, never has had a sniff. And I watch him perform, and he's a heck of a goaltender, but just they're just not even going to look at you when you're under 6 feet tall. So, and that threshold continues to get higher and higher. And, you know, basically height and raw skill will buy you an opportunity, and we saw some of that. You know, the kid from Belgium, you know, first Belgian, only maybe the only Belgian drafted. The Chicago Blackhawks spotted him, actually plays with this guy I'm working with. He's on the junior team for Red Bull Salzburg, and they did a sort of barnstorming tour of junior ranks in North America, and the Blackhawks and several teams spotted him. And again, size and raw skill. Well, they don't worry about the technical stuff. They figure they can develop that. If you're big and you show that raw sort of athleticism, that's what they're after these days. But small and raw athleticism, or small and refined technique and athleticism, sometimes that's not enough, especially if it starts with small.
Kevin, let's get to free agency. And there's a list of goaltenders, not many starters, but the backups. Who jumps out at you as the Edmonton Oilers? They've got their starter in Cam Talbot, and they're looking for Lauren Brossoit to come in and challenge for the job, but they're obviously going to bring in someone. Are there a few options you think the Oilers should look at in free agency?
Well, I mean, it's not a deep class, but it's, you know, I mean, from the Al Montoyas, who put up some pretty good numbers for the Florida Panthers last year and won't be back there, to Carter Hutton, to Jonas Enroth. I mean, we talk about size, not the biggest guys in the world. To, frankly, James Reimer, who I don't think that's where he ends up. I think some people are going to be surprised where he ends up. But, you know, there are no number one jobs out there right now. And so a lot of people are wondering, where does James Reimer end up? He's got to be looking for the chance to be a number one. But, you know, I think there's sort of an acceptance there that maybe those opportunities just aren't going to be out there. So you start looking around, you start looking for other options.
Where do you think Reimer's going to end up?
I'm not sure. I just think that it's tough to find this list right now. Because everybody assumed Calgary. I never saw a fit there in terms of style. I think that when you look at their preferences, when you look at their acquisition of Brian Elliott from a playing style, when you look at Rado Barra, who was traded to the Florida Panthers, and the type of goalie they thought he could be and tried to make him into in Calgary versus the polar opposite that Francois Allaire did in Colorado. I think that Jordan Sigelet is a goalie coach and will work at any style, but that doesn't, you're still going to have your preferences. And I think his preferences probably aren't towards a goalie like James Reimer. So, you know, I'm not sure yet, but it really is, it's a weird market. And you know, I think you could probably argue that the Flames did it right by taking a short-term option in Brian Elliott. Not just because, you know, we've heard about how the acquisition cost was lower because he's going to be a free agent in a year. The cap hit is lower compared to some of the other guys who are available. The commitment is lower. And I think that might be a good thing. As much as goaltending cost the Flames a spot in the playoffs last year, take a look at next summer. I mean, Ben Bishop's going to be a free agent. How many teams are going to be looking? What's the market going to be like for his services? Ryan Miller, Jacob Markstrom, both free agents at the end of next year. Brian Elliott, free agent after this season, going into next year. Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, I agree with the Penguins in that it would be a good thing to have Marc-Andre Fleury on their team this year. I'm not sure that you know, Matt Murray, as good as he was, is ready to go it alone. It'd be nice to have that support for him and with him this year. But the reality is, if he plays all year, they're going to have to give him away at the end of the season or risk losing Matt Murray on to the expansion waiver draft. It's the market next year is going to be flooded. So, you know, it's funny. There's not really any pure number one jobs available this year. It's all about the backup market. Who do you like in terms of size and style and fit? But next year, I'd rather be a team like Calgary, and I guess like Vancouver too, unless they re-up Markstrom long-term, a team that has options, a team that can pick amongst what is going to be, once again, a crowded market with kind of more goalies than there are chairs available in the annual game of musical chairs.
Kevin Woodley joins us from Ingold Magazine at NHL.com. So I have a few backup options for you. Chad Johnson, Kerry Romo, there's Zolkov, and Anton Hubotin are some other guys. Johnson's numbers are the best. I don't watch him enough. Have you broken down his game? What do you think of Johnson?
Yeah, you know, top of that, there would be a good fit for the Calgary Flames, both in terms of style, not a passive goaltender, has an efficient style in terms of his tactics and his movement, but his game remains not reliant, but includes active hands. In other words, he's not passive. He's not over-aggressive positionally, but he's not passive. He's got a good reactive game, and those are some of the elements that I associate with their preferences. Those are some of the elements I associate with Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott plays deeper. He can't afford to be passive. He's got to maintain those active heads. Chad Johnson, maybe a little more assertive positionally, but he's not a blocking goaltender. Not that you can really block 100% of the time anyways anymore in the NHL, but he's got a really good skill set. I think he's a guy that a Calgary guy trains in Calgary in the summer may see that as an opportunity to challenge for more playing time, no matter what the Flames are saying about who's their number one. He would be, of the names you just listed, Chad Johnson for me would be at the top of that list and certainly near the top of any list among the free agents this summer. He's a guy that's capable of doing more. Learned some lessons in New York where he didn't have a lot of support, understands his game better and what he needs from a goalie coach, what he needs from that relationship, what he needs to focus on to be successful. I think you saw that in Buffalo last year. And yeah, he's a guy who has shown the ability to play sporadically without kind of losing his edge. Like, he can be good in spot starts, but he's also capable of you know, playing at a pretty high level in sustained starts over a period of time. So I like that fit as an option for sure.
Well, I was looking at it from an Edmonton Oilers perspective, not so much Calgary. Like, Calgary,
well,
they had Brian.
That works too, absolutely. But in both cases, he's a guy that could push for starts and also be a backup. He, I believe, wants to play more and thinks he is capable of playing more. And so in terms of the fit for him, he may be looking more towards Calgary than he is towards Edmonton, where, you know, Cam Talbot isn't established for a long time, but I think you got that sense that, I mean, they've been waiting for a guy to do what he did for so long that I think they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that he sort of maintains that role, don't you think?
Yeah, well, Talbot to me is the starter, no doubt, but I think that they need a competent backup because, you know, you're going to look for a team that if they want to compete for the playoffs, they can't have 20 games where their backup is soiling the sheets every night. They just simply can't. Right, so they've got to find someone, and there's nothing wrong with if Chad Johnson's here, that you know, because if you're Chad Johnson, and as good of a season as Cam Talbot had, excluding the month of November last year, it's not locked in stone that he's guaranteed to be a starter and is going to excel. Who knows how he'll adapt it in the new sizing chart? Like, if I was a backup goaltender and I look around the league, like, you go to Montreal, trust me, you're not being the starter there unless Carey Price is injured, right? Like, there's certain places you know. And even though Cam Talbot might be the favorite as the starter, if he wanes and you're playing great, his contract isn't one where if you sign a two-year deal, it doesn't mean you can't win that job.
Right. And then that's the kind of opportunity that Chad Johnson would be looking for. And I guess the question would be, and the reason I mentioned Calgary is, you know, you're right, Talbot isn't locked up long-term, but Brian Elliott even less so, right? UFA at the end of the year, even though they've already, you know, talked about being open to an extension. And as of today, nobody behind them. I mean, they didn't qualify Yanni Ordeo in Calgary. So they've clearly, you know, need to bring somebody in or planning to bring somebody in there. And you know, it's funny, like you said, as much as all the number one jobs are settled around the league, there's going to be some competition for these number two spots. So if you've got a pecking order, if you're the Edmonton Oilers or the Calgary Flames in competition with them, in terms of who you think you need, you better make sure you've got that lined up quickly, because it really is a game of musical chairs, and the goalies all rush to find a seat because there's more goalies than seats, and you can end up without one. But if you're a team and like the Oilers or like the Flames, that just you can't afford to have a big drop off, then you better have that short list kind of locked in and have an idea, you know, where the goalies' preferences are too in terms of who you're going to land early.
So one last question for you quickly, Kevin. If you had to pick out of Lindback, Zolkov, Hudobin, or Ramo, who would be number one?
Oh, can I say Chad Johnson, even though he's not
no.
on your list?
No.
Did you have Enroth on there? Sorry, we've got
no.
so many names.
No, I didn't have Enroth because you talked about you'd be concerned about him smaller. So Lindback, Ramo, Zolkov, or Hudobin?
I would probably go Jeff Zatkoff.
Okay.
But if I'm... Yeah, that would probably, you know, there's a steadiness there in that role. And part of that role is how you handle the job when you're not playing. I know, you know, fans don't really care unless what happens when you're in the net. But some guys are good in that role. Peter Budaj for a long time. Actually, Peter Budaj, who I expect to end up being the LA Kings backup this year after the year he had in the American Hockey League, thrived in that role. And Zatkoff similarly in Pittsburgh, even though he ended up losing any playing time and watched them hoist the cup from the press box, the ability to handle spot starts and not suck because you haven't played in 2 weeks, yet do all the things that are required in practice and sort of just kind of be that guy that everybody wants to play for when you do get in, because you're always doing the work for them when you're not playing. Late after practice for shooters, out there early for shooters, doing that stuff, and a guy who's still invested in getting better and working on his game. Zatkoff, I like the upside still in Lindback. Nobody else has been able to tap into it since Nashville, and I think if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you need a steadier, more consistent presence. You can't take a flyer, like you said. You can't take a chance on somebody you think could be good. I think you need reliable, and of those guys you just gave me, Zatkoff to me is probably the top option.
Kev, we appreciate it. Next Monday should be fun. We'll find out where the goalie carousel dropped off a few of these guys. We'll talk to you then.
It should be fun. Thank you very much. Have a good week.